I want to start in verse 30. Everybody get Romans chapter 9, start in verse 30. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, hath attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, which is Christ. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion the stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, the whole thing that you're looking for in the Word of God, and, well, we need markers. It'll work a lot better. All these years, Israel had sought righteousness, but they never sought it by faith. They thought it was the works of the law that brought them into righteousness. And you can see that if you turn to Deuteronomy. Turn to Deuteronomy. If you have any problem finding Deuteronomy, just go to the book, front of the book, and count back five books. And go to Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy 6, I want you to look, if you will, in verse 24. In Deuteronomy 6, look in verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. By the way, did the Lord command them? No, they said the Lord commanded them, but the Lord never commanded them. By the way, you may want to hold on to here. Let me get you a reference. Go back to Romans chapter 5 for a minute. Hang on. To Romans 9, go to Romans chapter 5. I'll try to keep it down to enough fingers that if you had one or two sawed off, you'll still have one left. I had a delightful experience while you guys are turning there. Are y'all still turning there? All right. Cleveland. Everywhere I go, I witness and sow seeds, and I've been doing that for years and years. And I sat down with this couple, and I said, I had an old man once show me some truths in the Bible. Do you mind if I show you them? And, but before I started, I gave my testimony of salvation. And as I sat there with that couple, and I started showing them the mystery, not the two mysteries, but just the gospel mystery. And their eyes lit up like you wouldn't believe. And they got it. First time. They understood. And they said, boy, this answers 100,000 questions. This is incredible. And then I showed them the book of Philemon. And he said, I got the picture. And they started giving me their testimony of salvation, and both of them were saved. And we fellowshipped in the Lord until late one night. And my sickness was the only thing that slowed us down. So it was a great, great experience. Romans chapter 5. Why did the law enter? Verse 20. Romans 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might what? It wasn't entering in to make a person righteous. The law never was intended to make a person righteous. The law entered that the offense might what? Abound. Now, I want you to hear what they said in Deuteronomy 6. Let me finish 20. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Isn't that great? That's a hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? That's good. Deuteronomy 6. Now go back to Deuteronomy 6. Look what they thought about the law. See, they got the wrong concept from the very get-go. They never really I believe churches today are confused about the law. I believe that they think they're getting more righteous by keeping the law. And they don't even know that they're keeping it. I met a fellow the other day that believed that gambling was a sin. Okay, that's great. Let's say it is a sin. How are you doing on just the 10? You're not gambling. That's great. Let's work on the other 10. Do you love God with all, how many in here love God with all their mind, heart, and soul? Anybody? I don't love God. You know, I kind of like Brenda. Better than that, I like my mother-in-law. Hey, who's your favorite son-in-law, sweetheart? That's right. I love somebody other than God. You understand? I don't love God with all my mind, heart, and soul. Do I wish I could? Absolutely I wish. But I love, hey, when I walked down that aisle and saw Brenda in that beautiful, actually we got married in a bookstore, I'm kind of fabricating this. But it sounded good, didn't it? You know? And you see that beautiful bride and you realize she's going to be yours forever. My heart went out. I love her. I've got to tell you. And my kids are rotten as homemade sin. Some of them are ugly, just plain ugly. But you know what? We love them anyway. Amen? You know how that is. Well, some of us love them more than others. That's probably true. So we don't keep the commandments. You know, and my thing is, how's it working for you? You know, let's just try the 10. Don't throw gambling in. Let's just concentrate. How about the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Everybody got that one down? You work 6 days a week, and then on the last day, you spend nothing but time to the Lord. You don't work on the yard. You don't go to Lowe's. You don't do this. You don't. You don't sell Toyotas. You know, come on, guys. I mean, you realize that, you know, it's work 6 days and the seventh day you give into the Lord? The whole 24-hour period. I don't know anybody doing this. And so I was thinking about, what is it that you're seeking? And the key that you should be seeking is righteousness. And how do you get that righteousness? You know, see, I mean, that's the real issue. Go to Deuteronomy 6. Let's look at what they thought. Remember, we're going to go back to Romans chapter 9, right? Let's go to Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to what? Fear the Lord our God. Everybody. To fear the Lord our God. For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And here it is, and it, the observance of all these statutes, shall be our what? Who's saying that? Is that God? That's Israel saying that. It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God. Well, what happens if we don't? We wouldn't be what? And so, thus, back here in Deuteronomy 6, guess what's been formed? The treadmill. And this treadmill is everybody's been on it. And the carrot out here is what? It's righteousness. How many years ever felt like they've done everything that the church asked them to do and they still feel unrighteous? Everybody in here. I've done it all. I mean, you know, what's next? I'll do whatever. I want to become righteous. But you realize nobody's got the carrot. And the carrot represents righteousness, and that's exactly what's been happening. Go back to, where were we? Romans 9. Verse Verse 30 again. I want to start where we started. Watch this. Listen, you know what? Many churches today have people on treadmills. You know what I'm going to suggest? You can't get there by the treadmill. You got to stop and get off. You got to relax in grace. And that's what Romans 9 and Romans chapter 10 is all about. Watch this. Verse 30 again. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, they weren't on the treadmill. Why? God didn't give the Gentiles a law. He gave His chosen people a law. You all understand? Gentiles never had the treadmill. So how all of a sudden treadmills are popping up all over the Gentile world? That's kind of weird, isn't it? God never gave the Gentiles a treadmill to run on. Think about it. He only gave Israel the treadmill. Yet now, in every church, there's treadmills running around and people are on it. You tired? Yeah, I've been Joe Christian forever and I don't feel saved. You know why? You're on the treadmill. Israel didn't feel saved either. They were in constant doubt of their salvation. They were in constant doubt of what they believed. Why? Because they believed that if they keep on the treadmill, they'd eventually get the carrot, which was what? Righteousness. Is this making sense to anybody out there? All right. Because you guys are looking a little bit tired, and I'm near death. And between the two of us, we look like we're near death, listening not well. All right. Fire it up is what you said? If I give me one of them donuts, I may go into a sugar high, you know? Okay, I better not do that. What shall we say that the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness hath attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? That's very important. It's not the righteousness of the law. This isn't righteousness obtained by some treadmill exuberance of your athletic ability to overcome. That's not this. This is righteousness, which is of faith. Boy, isn't that a great sound? That's a great sound. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, what are we going to write as a note there in our Bible? Deuteronomy 6, verse 24 and 25. That's exactly right. You wouldn't want to have that without a note in your Bible. You want to get that note in your Bible. And have they obtained it? Hath not attained the law of righteousness. Did they attain it? How many attained it? How many have sinned? All have sinned. They weren't able to do it. So why is it today that we think we're able as Christians to do it? I mean, really, that's almost, for 1500 years, Israel had the treadmill, not one person made it. Yet nowadays, people promote the laws of God as if it's something we do to get righteousness or maintain righteousness or whatever it is, and yet 1500 years, nobody got it. That's got to be the ego of egos. They couldn't do it, but I could. Can you say that? Something wrong there. Amen? 1,500 people. People that knew the law in and out. People that heard it every Sabbath day. Studied at the feet of priests like Gamaliel and all the rest of them. No, yeah, these people knew the law, and yet how many here would be willing to stand up and give us the commandments? Just the 10. The 620 I would take later. They knew all of them. And yet we act somehow that we keep these laws. Well, come on down. He said they didn't obtain it. Wherefore? because they sought it not by faith, but as it were the works of the law. And they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Now, what was the law there for? Show us that we were exceedingly what? Go to Galatians chapter 3. I think this is fascinating. Don't you think this is fascinating? This is fascinating to me. Go to Galatians chapter 3. I thank God for my wife. If you guys ever get a chance to have a wife like mine, you'll be blessed. She fixed me some fresh squeezed apple juice. It was just perfect for breakfast. It's amazing. What? Do y'all need marriage counseling or what? All right, good. All right, Galatians chapter 3. Everybody there? All right, now think about what we're talking about. They sought it not by faith, but as it were by the what? Works of the law. Well, what was the law really there to do? It was to show that we were exceedingly what? Sinful. But Galatians 3 even nails it even further. This is what it says. Verse 22. Everybody there? But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Everybody underline that. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. What do you want to have out as a reference there? Keep coming. That's good, Rome. Huh? 3:19 is good, but here's the verse. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You all with me? Listen, the law, there was none good. How many are good? Is this pastor any good? No. Are there any good pastors? I mean, you gotta say Billy Graham's good. No, there is none good. No, not one. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. That the promise of faith of, and by the way, if your Bible says faith in, you're in trouble. Might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept up under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now here's the verse. Wherefore the law was our what? What is a schoolmaster? It's a teacher. To do what? To bring us onto Christ. Listen, when they heard the law, when Jesus Christ showed up, he shouldn't have been a stumbling block. What should he have been? A refuge. He should have been there. They said, well, man, we haven't been able to keep this commandment. We haven't been able to do anything right. We're running out here like psychobabbles and doing all these crazy things. We need a Savior. Here He is. But instead, because they thought they were doing the law, they didn't think they needed a Savior. What was the law to do? To teach, show you a need, that you had a need. Yeah, I mean, if you think about that for just a minute, that's all the law was given. That's all the law was given for, is for you to realize your own need. Of what? That you needed a Savior. That was it. And if you, and people don't really get this. I mean, even in Christendom, I talk to so many people, they're all confused.
Didn't the sacrifice make them believe that they would?
Well, it made them know that they were covered for 1 year. There was never a permanent righteousness. Again, the treadmill effect, you had to do it every year. See, you know, people get as they say, the cart before the horse or the treadmill before the carrot. Look what he says. But after that faith has come, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ that we might be justified by. Listen, if I got a mirror and the mirror could point out your faults 100% perfectly. You know, like that old story, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? And of course, my mirror says me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys. You know the old thing, right? The law was that mirror. And what we should have done is looked in that mirror and realized we're in trouble. We're not anywhere near it. And it happened a couple times in Bible days. It happened a couple times, and they're dramatic when they realize they had sinned against God. One is the prayer of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. When he turns to Jerusalem and prays that prayer. That. You need to go back and read that. But the one I'm going to show you is in Nehemiah. When they finally heard the word of the law. See, I don't think people really hear it. Because if it, there would be a change in their lives. Do you not hear the law? Paul says. Go to Nehemiah. How many can't find Nehemiah? How many would like help getting to Nehemiah? Nehemiah is toward the front of the book, in front of Psalms, and behind Ezra. So go to Nehemiah 8. What? You found it? Praise the Lord. Brother, if you couldn't find it, I would be worried. Everybody find it? It's kind of tricky, I know. You know, one time I told somebody to turn to Hezekiah 3. Well, you know, Hezekiah isn't in the Bible. And they searched for about 10 minutes, and I thought, well, now I'm really embarrassed to slow them down. You know? So, people have all kinds of views of the Bible. Most of us don't know much. Everybody in Nehemiah 8? Dean, aren't you glad you're here this morning?
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. Verse 1. Nehemiah 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street, which was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now you got to understand, they had just built back the wall, or the temple, and they're working on the wall. And these guys are getting all their stuff in order, and it's the first feast day. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. And people ask me, when can children get saved? When they can understand. I don't think it's one age for everybody. How about somebody who's mentally retarded? Is God going to hold them accountable what they can't understand? No, we got a gracious God, folks. And now, so verse 3. And he read there in the book, the street, before the street, that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and all that could understand, and ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Now, what are they listening to? The commandments. You with me? Now, watch what happens. If this would happen today, I would be impressed. This is what should happen today. And when people get saved and they get off the treadmill and find the carrot, it does still happen today. Here it is. And Ezra stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and that's what we've done here. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book, and if you want to read all those names, be my friend and read on. I don't think that the names in my mispronunciation. Would you like to read them for us? There's pronunciations in there that could be argued for years. But verse 5 is the verse I want to get to. And Ezra opened the book of the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he had opened it, the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands and bowing their heads and worshiping the Lord with their faces to the ground. I've never seen people get humble like that before the Lord much. Verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. See, my job, guys, is to do that. Make you understand the reading, that you're not going to get to that carrot by the law. That law had one purpose. And one purpose only. What was that law given for? To show you that you are sinful and that you need a Savior. That's it. That's what that law is for. One thing. Israel got it all kinked out, and now the Gentiles have got it all kinked out. But look what happened. Verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Threshethrite, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites taught the people, and said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. Why were they weeping? They understood that they were sinful. And all their shame, all that happened to them, was because of their rebellion against Almighty God and against His law. And instead of coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, we can't keep these. We need something else. They just kept pressing on, trying to do the law on the treadmill. You know, you ever get that way? Anybody here ever find themselves on that treadmill trying to get righteous by that law and you're always pressing? Let me tell you, these people wept when they heard the words of the what? They wept. They were like, oh my! We have sinned against God! What have we done? When you finally realize that you're not good enough to save yourself. See, I believe I grew up in a Methodist church all my life. I believe God was going to put good on one side and bad on the other and weigh it out. I was on the treadmill of life, baby. By the time I turned 15, I was a pot-smoking, hell-raising. By the time I entered college, I was basically agnostic. Flipping my fingers at God as if I was something. And thank God for a little girl named Brenda Hampton. Came into that bookstore and dragged me to a Bible church. Where a man taught me the Word of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused me to understand the reading. I thank God for that. Because you know what? I guarantee you, had she not come along, I'd still be on that treadmill. And that treadmill had slowed down way, way bad because of my rebellious and sin. But God doesn't have that intent. God has an answer to it all. Go back to Romans. See, what people don't understand is it's not that you get saved and all of a sudden you can do the commandments. You couldn't do them before, you can't do them after. What is it that you want? You want the carrot. What is the carrot? Once you've got it, do you need any more? You had your finger at Galatians 3, didn't you? Let's go there before I read in Romans 7, 1. Well, William, if you can't find it after these years, there's a few I don't worry about too much. Galatians chapter 3. Now, I did want to press this point because this is really the whole point. 24. Wherefore the law was our what? schoolmaster to do what? To bring us on to Christ. That we might be justified by faith. By the treadmill? By the law? No, by what? Faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. How many times have you heard this saying? Hey, once you get saved, then you're able to keep the law. I mean, that concept. Well, that verse just denied that truth. He says, once you've learned it, you're no longer under a schoolmaster. You're never under the law again. That isn't what you've got to worry about then. Isn't that fascinating? You little stinker. You're a little stinker back there. I heard that. All the way up here. Uh-huh. You take after your granddad, don't you? I love kids. We're no longer under the schoolmaster. What would you need to learn from that schoolmaster time and time again after you're saved and you got the righteousness? You've already obtained it. You understand? I mean, but that is being taught. Get a picture of that over there. That's being taught in many, many churches today. Well, what you need to do after you get saved is clean up your life. You need to put down the liquor. You need to quit the gambling. That wasn't even a law. That's right. They get the car. Well, it will a little. That's true. Well, because we put such an emphasis on this clean on this treadmill that people have no idea. And by the way, those things aren't even on the treadmill. It comes from little churches too. Yes, because of the exact same reason Israel did it. They sought it by what? The works of the law, not by what? Hey, they never got it. And they're doing it today. They're seeking it by the works of the law. But how many are good? Am I any good? Don't say that so quick, okay? You guys, I've been watching you guys. Yeah, you're no good. That preacher ain't worth the gunpowder blowing down. Amen. And she said yes, didn't she? Well, I mean, this philosophy is the problem and the killer of grace. Listen to the verse again. But after that faith is come, after you got the carrot, what's the carrot? Righteousness. We are no longer under a what? What is the schoolmaster? The law was our what? We're no longer under the law. That verse is one of the most liberating verses in all the Bible. Amen? Man, listen, let me tell you what. I've got enough burdens in my life just breathing air. I cannot keep the commandments. And you know what? You couldn't either. How many here at one time, honest engine, just be honest engine here, thought that the commandments had something to do with your salvation? Raise your hand. Everybody in there. You know why? The exact same reason Israel thought it. But they never got to that guy named the Apostle Paul that kind of explained the whole thing about the law. Why did the law enter? That the offense might abound. Go to Romans chapter 7. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Said, that old man's forgot. He said, turn to Romans 7. He's old. I am, but I ain't forgot Romans 7. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, this is why it was made, but sin, that it might appear what? You know what? People get together today and they commit adultery and they don't even feel ashamed about it. And people going to church, living together. A deacon? Larry, he's been known to have a few breakage there. No, come on. Think about it for a minute. There's none good, no, not one. Amen? And yet the church is accepting adultery as if it's not sin. In fact, you know, oh, what's your daughter doing or what's your son doing? Oh, they're living with this person. Well, come on. I know it's hard not to laugh, isn't it? They're so cute at that age. You know what? He's being just like we really are. Amen. He just doesn't know it yet. He's a little stinker like me. He's taking after the preacher. Anyway, I wish we could have mics back there. It would really be funny. Where was I? I got lost in my story here. Oh, a sin. So we don't even think, I mean, honestly, you ever hear anybody really preach on adultery anymore? You know why? Half the congregation's involved. Who wants to preach on the Sabbath day? Really hit it home. I mean, somebody might feel guilty and have to say, hey, I'm a sinner. Right? Exactly. It's 12 o'clock. People slam their Bible at 12. Well, what happens if I want to go to 12:30? Tony, you are bad. You're buying lunch today. Huh? Praise the Lord. How about one? Yeah, hey, I got a few. Okay. But you'll understand. The Sabbath day was what? 24 hours. How many's ever coveted their neighbor's ass? Or their house? We never talk about that. You know why? It's offensive. You know why? Because you can't obtain it that way, and you know you can't obtain it, and everyone else that's preaching it knows you can't obtain it. So you know what we do? We just avoid it. But I'm telling you, there's a moment you can just jump off the treadmill and walk around the front, and the carrot's yours. And once you've got the carrot and you've got righteousness, you've got all you need to get into heaven. You lack nothing. Once you have that carrot, you have it all. We sing that song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as... Hey, it isn't about me. Thank God there was a preacher that got me off the treadmill and said, hey, the carrot's yours. He wants you to have it. So he says, verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandments might become what? Exceedingly sinful. For we know the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. See, the law was to give you a chance to say, you know what, I need a Savior. Say, I need a Savior. Why? I can't do it by the law. I'm incapable of doing it by the law. The law is killing me. I cannot do it by the law. I need a Savior. Say it. And that's what the law was to do. Go back to Romans chapter 3 for a minute. And we'll wrap up and then we'll let you get to some of those donuts in the back. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. What would we have written right outside there? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 in your Bible. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Right? You would want that right there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall... How many flesh? How many people on the treadmill are going to get it? They're all going to end up in hell. They're going to churches. Listen to me very carefully. They're going to churches, and they're on the treadmill, and they work their lives out, but at the end, they are going to die and go to hell. You know why? They didn't get the carrot. They've worked hard. They've helped the church out. They've tithed. They've given everywhere else. But he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Wherefore... But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, listen to this, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto how many? All, and upon all them that believe. For all have sinned. How do we know that? The treadmill. Has anyone ever obtained the carrot? They're on the treadmill.